Podcast. One, two, one, two, one,
Welcome to One Girl, One Mic podcast. This is your lovely host, Vivi Nicole. Yay! I guess we can hear the hand claps. Nobody else can, right? So this is my, I don't know what episode this is. Again, oh my God, I feel so bad. This is the third episode. I don't know what episode it is. But this is my actual second time going live, my first time recording an actual live podcast. So this episode will be available for people to come back and watch again, right? So that's a good thing. I'm gonna take the headphones off now. So, hi Rodney, how are you?
What up?
So if it get too crazy or if I feel like I'm messing up, I'm getting off live. I don't care. What you think, Rodney?
No, we about to rock it.
No, we not. So okay, so thank you so much for coming. I'm joined here again. Rodney always come and bless my podcast. You just a fixture here. I love it so much.
Invite me up more often.
Really? You want to come more often?
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to talk about.
We do have a lot of stuff to talk about.
But we got right now.
Right now, though. We can't talk about none of our other business. We're here to talk about UAW business today.
Yes.
Because currently, right now, as the world is looking, history is being made because for the first time in how many years, Rodney?
What is it? 80?
Yeah.
In the history, like for all three?
For all three.
Yeah, it's first time in history, I think, all three of
Been 80 years? It ain't been 80 years.
I read 80, but it could be more.
No, so for the first time in a long, 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 long time, the UAW is on strike. And they actually did a different type of approach this time. And they did a bottleneck strike, which is the first of its kind, right?
Right.
We've not seen this before.
Correct.
A bottleneck strike is basically I really wanted Rodney to come on because Rodney is one of the plants that was actually chose to go on strike. So he is part of Local 12.
Yep. Shout out Local 12, Toledo Jeep.
And he is a union rep there.
Yes, that is correct.
So this is like prime stock that I have here, right?
Yep, that is true. Yeah, I'm gonna take my headphones off.
Okay.
All right. Come on. Yep. So yeah, we were the plant chosen to for Stellantis Chrysler.
So exactly what is a bottleneck strike?
Bottleneck strike is basically when they target certain facilities and they strike that particular facility, right?
Mm-hmm.
So well, normally a bottleneck strike would be an engine plant or a transmission plant,
right?
Because you want to squeeze, you know, if an assembly plant doesn't have engines or transmissions coming in, they can't run. So you
right.
gotta squeeze their supply chain.
Okay, so we're getting a little bit ahead of us. Okay, so I want to just start with us being on strike and what exactly a bottleneck strike is, because I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, because right. then I want to kind of, because our Sean Fain is leading the UAW with negotiations
yes.
for us right now. So, and that was his strategy, or that was part of the bargaining team strategy,
yeah.
right, for that. So, okay, so I want to start in the beginning, start from the beginning a little bit. So, okay, so Rodney, how long have you been working for Chrysler?
10 years, a little over 10 years.
All right, so and you've done all your 10 years at Toledo?
Yes.
And how long have you been the union rep?
A little over a year and a half.
Mm.
I was an alternate steward for a year, and I've been steward for about a year and a half now.
So, Rodney, now that we are on live and I have you on this podcast, I want to ambush you.
Oh, shoot.
No. Because I really want you to give me my credit, because who was the person who told you that you should have been your steward?
I'm going to give you your credit.
Who, Rodney? Give me my props. Who was the first person? Let me see what they said. No.
What okay. they say.
Hey, Daryl. Hey, brother. Hey, Lamar. Hey, Juicy. I see you. Okay, Rodney. Who, for real? Tell the truth.
You were the first one to tell me, and you the reason
give me
why
my
I got
props.
These gray hairs right now.
So, oh, wow. So, why were my props is like a bad thing, huh?
No, it ain't bad. It's okay.
So, how has it been serving your membership?
Hectic. Very hectic. Very busy. It don't stop.
So, okay. So, by you having 10 years, you have been an employee that's been in progression.
Yes.
All right.
Start out as a tier two. Mm-hmm. I'm a tier two worker. Yep.
Okay. So now y'all already know me, right? So y'all know I've been working at the plant for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Long time. Let's not even go there. Okay. Let's not talk about that. No, we'll talk about that. So it's been like 24 years that I've been there. And shout out to Shanique from Afrotech. She's a journalist that was writing an article for Afrotech, and she was actually looking for someone to interview from the city of Detroit, a production worker, about production life in the automotive industry here, because she was writing for a electric car company that's trying to have a startup company here. So shout out to her, and I got connected through her to my cousin KJ. So shout out to KJ, big up to them. Bop 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 bop. We gonna do the horns. Thank you for that. But during that interview, it really made me think about my career here at Chrysler, and because there's some people that don't work some people who live out of the state of Michigan who don't know nothing about the automotive yes. industry and anything that we have going on. So it's like, okay, well, who am I? So I've been working there 24 years at Warren Truck, building the Dodge Ram the whole time. My dad retired from Chrysler, so I'm a second generation Chrysler worker. And I was a team leader for a long time over at Warren Truck. Shout out to Local 140. I love Local 140. It will always be in my heart. Like, that's my plant. Local 140 raised me. You can't work nowhere for that long and right, that plant yeah. not raise you, no, right? That's my home. That's your home. Right? Then I was actually fortunate enough to be appointed the alternate benefits rep job at Warren Truck, which I really, really love doing that. And I really love serving the membership in that capacity, like working with retirees and people calling in. It was really fun. It was really nice learning under Jessica and Camille. They had some of the best benefits rep out there. Shout out to Jessica and Camille. They trained me really, really well. And then I went on to do my apprenticeship. Now that I'm doing my apprenticeship now, I am over at Local 7. And Local 7 has been a joy. Like, the membership over there has been really, really nice. Very, very welcoming. So welcoming, and so is that I ran for executive board at Local 7 and won. So that is like big up. So I've been able to serve my membership over at Local 7. And it's just been really, really a great ride. So I can honestly say, like, from my perspective, working for the UAW and working for Stellantis, which is now Stellantis, it's been good for me.
Yeah.
So because I'm born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, and I work at the plant. So it's like, why? It's like it kind of goes right along with this what is, I should be doing, right?
This is in our DNA. This is what
it really is.
Around. Yeah, this is what we know.
Yeah.
This is definitely what we know.
So, Rodney, because you bring up the note. So I wanted to, and this part is because not only will people be watching on Facebook Live, but people will be listening also. And people may want to know why we are striking, right? Why are we fighting for more wages and things like that? And I ran across this, and I wanted to just give this a little, say this, right? This little tidbit, right? In our 2008, now it's 2023, mm-hmm. right? 2008 contract, we didn't get a raise. 2011 contract, we didn't get a raise. 2015 contract, we received 2-3% raises. 19, we received 2-3% raises, right? So that's 12% raises in 15 years. Like, really?
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
And they just put the lady's salary from the CEO from GM, her salary up.
Oh, Mary Barr? $29 million.
So, and I know that people will say, don't pocket watch other people, right? Like, don't pocket watch. But are you trying to tell me, so we don't deserve $45, $50 an hour, but she deserves to make $100,000 a day? Exactly. Like, what has Mary done to go to, like, what, how is she that qualified? That's just like, grants her the opportunity. It's okay for her to make that amount of money, but not okay for us to make not even a pinch of that.
Right. And that's the ridiculous part about it, because here, we'll say this, Mary Barr, you made $29 million in compensation last year. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve it. GM's doing good. They're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to us,
mm-hmm.
don't sit here and tell us what we don't deserve. Or
exactly. Oh, okay. Now, mm-hmm.
I always say this, right? Every 3 years, the companies, since I've been there, and obviously I haven't been there very long, but you've
been there long. I've 10 years long is enough. Long enough.
So since the bankruptcy, mm-hmm. every 3 years, what they do is they tout how healthy the company is,
mm-hmm.
how, you know, financially what they're doing, mm-hmm. how much money they're pouring into different sectors and what they're doing. And they tout financially, we're doing great. We're doing great. They all the gains that they mm-hmm. made and, sales records year over year.
Listen, it's public record.
But then on the fourth year, contract time. It's time to cry broke.
Yeah, we broke. We don't have any money.
Because we have to do all of this. Well, you wasn't saying that last year.
No.
You wasn't saying that the year before.
When you was making $29 million.
Exactly. Every 4 years, it's time for them to talk about, well, we don't have it because we have to put all the money over here.
Yeah.
But you didn't say that last year.
No, because it wasn't like that. And it's not like that this year either.
No, it's always a game. Every 4 years, these companies, they cry broke. They talk about what they can't afford when it comes to the workers. I know at one point in time, our pay, including benefits, only accounted from between 3% and 5% of the total cost of a vehicle.
Wow.
Do not sit here and tell me that you cannot afford to give us what we're asking for.
I totally agree.
Because now the narrative from the companies is, well, if we give them everything that they're asking for, we're gonna go bankrupt.
How?
Show me the numbers.
Maybe Mary don't make $29 million a year.
Maybe not.
Like, that is so evil. Like, that's so evil. Like, how could you really, really, in your real mind, make $29 million a year and say, don't give the working class people? So, listen. Yeah. So, I thought about this, right, earlier today. I'm thinking, like, okay, Mary, what the hell did you do for that $29 million? Because I know somebody that worked, like, on the line. He can tell you what he did for that $30 an hour.
Yeah.
He can tell you, like, I put 600 bumpers on.
Absolutely.
For mine. That's what I did for mine. Mm-hmm. I did mine. Y'all got it out of me. I put 600 bumpers on. I ain't missed one. All of them went through. I did my job. I was here on time. I did my job for my money, for my paycheck. Thank you.
Other than have high power
meetings. So what the fuck did you do, Mary, to get the $29 million? Is what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, it's
you ain't that smart. Like you can't be. You ain't invented nothing. No,
she didn't.
No,
her job when she got appointed CEO, her job was to keep the boat afloat. GM was the number two automaker in the world.
We was been bad Escalades.
Exactly.
You did not make a new Escalade, Mary.
You did not. Thank you.
I didn't create a new bumper. I did that job the exact same way I was supposed to do it, but everybody did their job and everybody got paid. So why don't I deserve more money? And I'm not even asking for $1 million. Bitch, you could be making 29. And that's just one person. Like, come on. Well, that's a bit ridiculous.
But that's what Fame been talking about this whole time. The CEO and the executives, their pay has shot up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 10 years.
Yes.
Record numbers. And we stay flat. We stay flat. So this will be and always has been an attack on middle class.
Yes.
This country right now is running off of corporate greed.
Yes.
And I hate to say it because we've been hearing this so much over the last couple months.
It sounds cliche.
It almost sounds cliche.
But it's the truth. That was another thing. One of what was part of my notes was how important the UAW is, right? Mm-hmm. So our forefathers seen this a long time ago.
Yes.
They seen this. Like, that's the one thing that I wanted to talk about as far as like the newer member that came in. Like, I need them to understand how serious the UAW system is. Like, this is a system that has already been put into place to protect the working class people, us. We need to make sure that it stays strong, and we need to make sure that we are doing what we need to do and stand strong together. Mm-hmm. Right? Because our forefathers, like, no, it can get ugly. It got ugly back in the day. Like, people, like, if you know the history of UAW, like, no, they was literally fighting on bridges. Niggas getting their back broke. Yeah, like, for real.
Beat up.
Like, no, it was good. It was bad. Whoop. So,
No, I'm about to say, I'm trying to think of talking about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The history of the UAW. Look at what they've done to us over the last 10, 20 years. The number of UAW members has dwindled.
Well, yeah.
Big time.
Because remember, they made Michigan a right to work state. Like, who would ever do that?
Absolutely. So that, just to piggyback off what you're saying, it is very important that they.
Which makes me question people that we work with that are Republicans.
Oh, absolutely. That's a whole nother, like.
Whatever.
Yeah. Some people's upbringing is a little different. What they believe in, that's a whole nother issue.
Right. That is a whole nother issue. We'll get back to that.
But the number of UAW members
I want to poke the bear a little bit, right? Okay. So I have to play devil's advocate. And I was going to get to this later on in the conversation, but I want to get to it now, Rodney. So what if, now, and y'all already know I'm UAW till I die, but I have to play devil's advocate. What if the UAW, the big three, Ford, Chrysler, and GM, is looking at Amazon like, Amazon don't do none of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Amazon got more money than all of us.
Amazon does.
How does Amazon have more money than Ford, Chrysler, and GM probably put together, and they don't do? How can we unionize Amazon is the real question.
That's the question. Well, and it's already starting.
It has it.
It's already started in New York. I want to say one of their facilities in New York. I don't know whatever happened to that.
Because Amazon has to be getting away with bloody murder. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that Ford, GM, and Chrysler hasn't sided with the UAW to organize them. To say you have to, really, this man has more money than everybody, and he's just getting away with bloody murder, and nobody's complaining. People are still going there to work.
It's difficult. But, yeah, that would be something that they should get with us about. Like, okay, we want to play on the even playing field, because you got to understand, look at companies like down south, which they have a different mentality down there, right?
Okay.
They have a different mentality down south. They mm-hmm. got Kia, Hyundai, Mercedes. Mm-hmm. They down there. We okay. They treat us good. We make.
Oh, those plants don't want to be unionized.
They don't want to be unionized.
Yeah, we coming for y'all though.
Exactly, because they don't understand what these companies are doing. I don't understand how they don't see what this fight is about, and how they wouldn't want to get. Yes, we all know the union has a history of, let's say,
being human.
Yes,
these are human beings running in UAW. Being it's human beings, like it's human yes. beings. So nothing is without flaw, right? So nothing is without flaw on a corporate side, and nothing mm-hmm. Nothing is without flaw on a UAW side. That's so true. I understand, but like that's like the crazy stuff or the illegal or the scandals and everything is like a drop in the bucket compared to the strives and things that they have actually done for us. Y'all seen UPS get $50 an hour?
Yes, absolutely.
They said they're not even driving UPS trucks no more. They driving scat packs.
Yeah. I mean, John Deere got an excellent contract, if I'm not mistaken.
So this is, I don't think the these big corporations understand, like, there's no more workforce to go and get.
No.
Who you think you're going to get to run that Toledo plant? You think you're going to get that many people to run another Toledo? Okay, no, cool. Who you going to get to do Warren truck? Like, it's not that many people. Mm-hmm. Them people don't want to come to work now.
No, they don't. And what they don't understand is people are paying attention to what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. So it would be easy for them to say, well, we're going to up and move it here. We're going to up and move it there. It's only a matter of time before it catches up to you, because what these companies are doing, they're very archaic in this way of thinking, mm-hmm. that this is no longer the 70s and the 80s when people were knocking you over and breaking arms to get into the plant, because it represented a way of life. It represented a middle class where you can go and live in that good neighborhood and your wife didn't have to work and your kids went to good schools.
Your shit, Rodney.
Listen, for whatever reasons, and we can get into political reasons, we can get into a lot of things, but one thing this country has been trying to do for decades is eliminate the middle class. They want it to be the haves and the have-nots, mm-hmm. which is why companies like Amazon can sprout out from nowhere mm-hmm. and then just blow up, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the Jeff Bezos is the haves.
Yeah.
His executives are the haves.
They're the haves.
His workers are the have-nots.
Yeah.
You know, the only difference between Amazon and the big three is, we've been doing it for over 100 years.
Yeah.
Give it time.
Yeah.
Give it time. Those mm-hmm. workers will not sit there and say, well, we make it $24 an hour and they treat us good and we just okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Trust me when I tell you, Tesla, which doesn't have legacy employees.
Mm-hmm. Right? No. Yeah.
So, yes, their employees, you know,
it's
how
fun
much
now.
They make.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun now.
Yeah.
But just wait.
Yeah.
Give
just
it
wait.
Time. Tesla only been running for what? 10, 15 years.
So do you think that maybe that's maybe what how the big three is probably looking at Amazon, like, oh, you're new. Just wait. Give
just
it a minute.
Just wait on it. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then they're, you know, when they upset, they mad, they talk about, well, our competitors, they're only making, their employees only make it. Give it time. Toyota in this country, they don't have legacy workers yet.
You maybe Toyota, not even Toyota. Like, you don't think they've been around long enough?
Oh, theirs is coming very soon.
Oh, it's coming.
Toyota's coming very soon. Yes, it is. Yes,
it's looming. People Absolutely. Are starting to retire from those plants and mm-hmm. going like, this yep. ain't right.
Yep.
No.
Pensions and all that. Yeah. It is coming. Give it. And Toyota's coming very soon, actually. So that's.
So, okay. So now, okay. So get back on track about this mm-hmm. current contract, right? So I think that, have you seen the difference of the way we are relying information, even from the last contract? So I thought the last contract was like crazy. This contract, remember last contract, it was like, oh my God, it's crazy. You putting stuff on Facebook. That's not the way to go. It's not official. This contract, Facebook is official.
Absolutely. Because, listen,
Facebook is like the most official thing we got going on right now.
I will say this about our current president, Sean Fain.
Mm-hmm.
That man is only doing what we've been kicking, yelling, and screaming about for the past mm-hmm. 10, 15 years. That's all he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You want people to be transparent?
We're being very transparent.
We're being very transparent. Mm-hmm. We're reaching out to people, to the newer workers mm-hmm. via social media.
Yeah.
We're doing that.
We're doing that.
You
we on
know
that.
What's going on? No more backdoor deals. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what they're offering. People made it, you know, people laughed at it, right? When he threw it in the trash and all that. And it was funny.
It
right?
was. It seemed entertaining.
But think about this. In 19 and 15 and going back to when you.
Well, we did. Facts we just.
Yeah. Never seen that.
Never.
And Sean Fain brought it up in one of his lives. I had heard stories about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 19 contract. When they didn't agree on anything. And our leader at that point in time made a deal and nobody knew about it. And Fain actually mentioned that in one of his lives.
Really?
Absolutely. He did. Absolutely. He did. This is the complete opposite of that.
So wait a minute. Randy, were you at the rally yesterday? Were y'all obligated to go to the rally because y'all was striking?
I was striking. Yeah, we were striking. So I was down at the Union Hall.
So, okay, really fast. How was the energy when y'all knew that y'all were a target plant? Like, how was the energy in the plant? Was it nervousness? Were people scared? How was
people, it? Initially, people didn't know. I think our local leadership knew, but they didn't want to say anything because they didn't want, you know, they didn't want everybody.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Before the, because I know, I mean, being on the executive board, I know exactly what Local 7 did. And mm-hmm. I don't want to say because, you know, they may be watching. The ops might be watching. But we did have things in place. Did y'all local prepare?
Yes.
Y'all were completely prepared.
We were definitely prepared for it.
So that's what I want to talk on. That's the next point that I want to talk on. So to any of the new workers, new hirees, or, you know, people that haven't been working for the company, and this is y'all first time going through something like this, I want y'all to be very confident, right? We prepare for this every 4 years. We yes. vote on people to go and negotiate our contract. We have a lot of faith in them going and negotiating a fair contract for us. Don't be scared. We got this. Like, they big, but we big, too. We ain't scared of the big bad, but nah, UAW strong. We got this. Like, be prideful. Don't be scared. We will fight a good, clean fight.
Absolutely.
And so it was another thing about us. I don't want the people to be scared, and I want them to know that we really and we prepare for this for a long time.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I feel confident they're going to get us a good contract. Now, that was another thing. Will you love everything in a contract? No.
You never will.
Not going to love everything in a contract.
Mm-hmm. This is about negotiations, right? They're always, listen, it's always going to be something, right?
It's always going to be something. Everybody ain't going to get everything.
Absolutely not.
Is somebody mad that we may not get the 35-hour work week, 32-hour work week versus 4? You know what I'm saying? Like, so just know that you may not get what you want, but if it's for the better of the good, mm-hmm. right? So things that I'm willing to compromise on, right? So if they have to tell me, of course, I know for a fact I deserve a raise. I deserve a damn raise.
Absolutely.
If me not getting a raise or I'm not getting a bigger raise or a higher raise means that the retirees can have something, or if people can give pensions, please, please give people a pension.
Right.
They need to stay at these jobs. Like, nobody want to stay at the job because for what? Right. So, like, I would definitely be like, okay, if I can't get the pay raise that I think I deserve, but if that is, but at the same time, why should I have to, because they can afford to give us all of it.
They can
afford to give us everything.
They can. But again, it's negotiations.
It's
right?
negotiations. So yes. I do want people to understand that I do understand that this is an uphill battle, right? Everything is a fight. It's yes. a real fight in a battle. So it's an uphill battle. So although you may not get everything you want on this contract, we have to get something.
And I could tell you this from, you know, and I have, you know, friends up there negotiating on mm-hmm. the national level. And I can tell you this, from everything that I've heard,
mm-hmm.
Sean Fain, Rich Boyer, they are.
Shout out to Rich Boyer. Okay, yeah. So Rich Boyer came from McGraw Glass, and he worked at Warren Truck before he went. So this is the reason why the UAW is so it's so important, right? So if you work for the UAW, you're going to have two major elections. You're going to have your presidential election, and your local election is just as important as your presidential election. Yeah. So it's crazy. So the person that's up there negotiating for my livelihood is somebody that I work with. Absolutely. Like, this was somebody that I could walk. I literally, hey, Rick, you know what I'm saying? Right. But this is the person that's negotiating. Yeah. So it's like, it's personal. Mm-hmm. Like, these are our brothers and sisters that are actually representing us. We know these people.
Yeah.
Margaret Mock came from Warren Truck. Okay. Like, you know what I'm like? Yeah. We know these people. Like, we're so happy for them, so we supporting them 100%.
Absolutely, absolutely. But like I said, They are not bluffing. They no. are not bluffing at all.
No.
They are going
so you see they put the buffs on Sean Payne after he did the absolutely. So what do you think about that strategy?
I love it. Because
people were complaining like, oh, bottleneck strike. What is that? He gonna strike the smaller plants. And Sean Payne said, give me them buffs.
Give me
them buffs. He said, give me Gretsch. He told Gretsch, give me my fucking buffs.
The buffs. Give me those. You don't need them right now. You fixing the rolls. Give me the buffs. I'm taking care. Because
why does bitch fixing all of the rolls all at the same time? We're going to talk about that another day. Okay, yeah. So yeah. So Big Sean Fane said, give me the buffs, and we're going to see.
Listen, he hit him with the fake left turn right.
He did.
He had these companies looking at certain facilities, which mm-hmm. I am convinced that they leaked on purpose.
Of course.
I believe that they leaked definitely it on strategy. Purpose. And they had them pulling yep. stock
they out did. Of
these specific they facilities.
Did. Yeah.
And then
because I've only seen it on social media. Like a few people posted that other people that worked in the facilities were posting. And I didn't know if it was true or not. But I'm like, no, I guess maybe that is what really happened. That they really did fall for the. So it's like, yeah, he put the buffs on after that. He deserved it.
Absolutely
them.
He did.
Yeah.
He played. They thought he was playing checkers. He was playing chess.
All the time. Because, all the time.
Let me tell you something. One thing about these executives, they always think they're the smartest person in the room, right?
Yep.
They never looked at us like we were an educated workforce. They never looked at us like that.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Absolutely. So you have somebody like Sean Fain, right? Different. He's mm-hmm. different mm-hmm. than what we've been used to, mm-hmm. and I love it, mm-hmm. but he's coming up there with all the big talk, and they looking at him like, listen, let's keep it a buck. Let's call it what it is. Dumb auto workers. Dumb auto workers. Mm-hmm.
Uneducated auto workers. Because again, I guess that goes to the point that I just made. These are people that we work with every day. So these were just at one point a regular production worker, skill trade, whatever. Maintenance, the truth whatever.
Is, these people can do more with their hands in a day that you could do in a lifetime.
Hello, old girl from GM that makes $29 million for nothing.
Exactly. That can't do nothing.
Yeah.
Can't do nothing. She probably don't even know where the hood latch on her car is. But that's another story.
Right.
They, you know, they look at us like that, mm-hmm. right? So you look at somebody like Fane, who, you know, he talking tough. Oh, this is different, but he's playing chess. No, he's playing checkers, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's playing checkers. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's playing checkers.
But right, no, he's really he's playing chess. Yeah, y'all he's wasn't playing. Expecting that.
Yeah, and they wasn't expecting it. Mm-hmm. So now they're backpedaling. Now they have to readjust their strategy. You saw what Ford did. Ford was mad. Oh, now they laying off 600 workers, right? It was mad. They didn't expect that. They didn't see it coming.
Right.
So now this is our response to it. We'll see a response from Stellantis and GM in the coming days. But again, now they're really on their heels because we're working under an expired contract. So we're working under an expired contract, which means anytime, any given day, another plant can
So walk. Are you telling me right now that we are basically in the middle of live fire? Yes. Basically. So yes. the union picking off and the corporate picking off.
Absolutely.
So this Sean Payne said, I'm laying them off. And the Ford said, we're going to lay them off. And Sean Payne said, we're going to shut another plant down. And they go, oh, Jesus Christ.
Listen, and yeah, absolutely. And so, and listen, he came out, he made a statement today. And the he American said, listen, people. We'll go a day longer than y'all will.
Yeah, listen, I was going to write Stellantis a letter and tell them, I don't think dog playing.
He's not playing.
I don't think dog playing.
And I want to make a point too, right? Because I know I hear a lot of people down where I'm at saying, well, they got X amount of days of, you know, this vehicle in the field. They can wait us out longer. No. Let me explain to you about corporate greed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say you made. You came up with some invention, right? Mm-hmm. You made $4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to sit on the couch and say, I made $4 billion. I don't have to do anything.
No, you're going to want to make another $4 billion.
Because guess what?
Yep.
If you're not making money, you're losing money.
Exactly.
That is corporate greed.
Yeah.
Yes, we have X amount of Rams days. Out in the field.
Yeah.
Days of Rams out in the field.
But what about the days we ain't making none?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That makes them mm-hmm. want to fight somebody
mm-hmm.
every
it
day.
It gets them in a frenzy.
Think about it. Every day when the line stop, it's costing us money when
it's down to the number.
Yes, absolutely. Right? So every day.
So let me speak from this because this was in my notes. One of the things that I really wanted to talk about that me and Leisha was talking about the other day. LB, shout out to LB. She wants to come, but she's at her union meeting today, right? Right. So shout out to Dearborn. Stamping. But So the newer generation, yourself included, Rodney, yes, you can be lumped in with
I'm
this.
I'm a little older, but I'm
and,
still
okay, boom. And I say this, I can be lumped in with this as well. We only know good times in the plant. I only know good times in the plant. I don't know no bad times in the plant. Mm-hmm. I don't know no bad times. My father, mm-hmm, horrible times. My father knows a completely different Chrysler.
Yes.
Completely different Chrysler. And so when me and LB was talking about this, because her dad worked at Ford, still to this day, right? So shout out to him because he's the best. But me and Alicia were talking about how we can remember being little, going, standing in an unemployment line with our dads. Like, it was like an all day thing. Remember this in the 80s?
Yeah.
Yes, in the 80s, yes. Those layoffs, the year I was born, my dad got laid off for 5 years.
Right. Yeah.
My dad was laid off for 5 years.
That's when they had the jobs banks and all that stuff.
Right? Listen, the auto industry was bad during that time in the early 80s. It was a very, very bad time for the auto industry. So it was like we have never experienced bad times. So it's almost like we do have a sense of, I'm not going to say entitlement, but it's like, when you don't know bad times, it's like, well, it's always good, but this shit can get bad.
It can get bad and fast.
And fast. Yeah.
And I'm not, like I said, I hope we get everything that we're asking for, but there is still a possibility, mm-hmm, that this can go left.
Real fast.
Yeah.
Because as we just said, we're actively in the middle of crossfire, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So like, we're having this conversation now, but your plant is on strike. Like, how many people are at your plant?
Almost 6,000.
6,000?
Yeah.
Your plant got 6,000 people? Yeah. Wait a minute. So every the plants, shifts, yeah. Wait a minute. All of the buildings went?
Yeah.
Even the new Wrangler where they...
The Gladiator, yeah.
The Gladiator, all everybody walked.
Yeah, the whole Toledo Assembly Complex.
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
So that's 6,000 people making $500 a week.
Yes.
Come on now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, this could get bad.
It could get bad.
Remember last contract when GM went on strike, we were out there supporting them. Like, they were out there for a few weeks.
Yeah. How long did that strike last? It was over a month. What was it? Yeah. Almost 6 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It lasted a while.
So, I don't know.
It can go there. But like you said, though, we don't know bad times.
No.
You know, but different times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what people need to understand is this goes beyond just the UAW and the companies, right?
It does.
This is deeply political.
Mm.
This is deeply political. Mm-hmm. Again, this, like
it's
I said, we've heard it, you know, so it sounds cliche. This is an attack on, the UAW is the only middle class that we have left in this country.
Yeah.
And people in different parts of the country don't understand that.
No, because they feel like we entitled. Like, yes, they can't understand it. And this is the reason why we have to have conversations like this, yes, on a platform like this, to get it out so everybody can understand. Like, no, we actually fighting for everybody.
Yes, absolutely.
Everybody.
Like, how is it the car that you drive every day? Like, nobody thinks about that.
Yeah.
The car that you drive every day.
Yeah.
That's what we represent.
Yeah.
Nobody really thinks about that. They take that for granted. Oh, the car that I drive. Oh, you know, I had somebody complaining. Well, you know, I had a brand new such and such car and the alternator went out on it. Like, hey, first of all, we assembled the car.
Exactly.
We assembled the car.
Right.
That has nothing to do with the workers.
Right. And I am sad that that happened to you.
I am.
But we are human beings.
Absolutely. Well, but again, we put the alternator in. If the alternator fails, then we need to get on the company.
Well, because we already know this, right? So a lot of people say, mm-hmm, they come down so hard on UAW workers and what we doing now, us building bad quality vehicles. But trust me, it don't be us.
Absolutely not.
We be like, oh, this bad. And they be like, run it. Yeah. That's it.
Let me tell you something. And I can tell you from 10 years of working in that place, you got more people that care about
more people that care. Do.
I don't, BS about, it's crackheads.
No.
And they drink. Listen, this ain't 1986.
This is not. This is not 1986 no more. That is a different UAW workforce in there now.
I remember times where my mom, you know, back in the day where they say, don't buy a car that was made on Friday.
No.
Like,
that car is built just as good on Friday as it is built on Monday.
Like, I'm so tired of hearing that BS.
I can name off great repairmen. They ain't letting nothing get off their line. They gonna chase that truck up the line. They gonna make sure that job is done very well. So yeah, like, no, I don't want people to, no, we are very, very deserving of this.
I'm tired of that narrative. Yeah, ready to.
Yeah, that narrative shouldn't be in there.
Like, I'm sick.
And I'm talking about everybody is like, everybody be on board. Like,
yes.
Young, old, whoever. It's mm-hmm. like, nobody's coming there just to do nothing. No. People are coming there doing their fucking jobs.
They don't let you do nothing.
We're coming here to do our job.
Again, we have a workforce that's been slashed by half.
Yes.
There's no opportunity to do nothing.
Well,
not much.
It's not because yeah. they've doubled up on the jobs and you know what I'm saying? And yes. color, yeah. So
absolutely. Yeah. Which is another reason why we're fighting.
Yes.
You got, listen,
and we're job doing, security as well.
Job security. You got people, you got one person doing two jobs. They're combining jobs. They're doing all these things to us. Right. The tone and the tenor in the plant right now is very, mm-hmm. is very delicate. Because they're, you know, you got Stellantis coming in, these people from overseas. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing Carlos Tavares told us? American workers are lazy. You out your damn mind.
And don't y'all get like an hour free every day? Like every worker over there get to just go home and take a nap, drink wine every day at 5 o'clock. The work week is 30 hours. But yes. The American workforce has been convinced in...
That 50, 60 hour work
is the way to go.
Yeah.
So this is what I wanted to say, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what I genuinely believe. So the atmosphere that we are in now, right? The tone of things right now is, so our parents, right? They never really liked their jobs. They did them jobs because they had to, yeah. right?
It was jobs too.
It was different jobs. And yeah. it was like, okay, so think about our parents. It was on the brink of when you finally can get a good job. So remember, my dad was laid off 5 years. So when he finally could work, he was hit the ground yeah, running when they could finally get from that break from the '80s and could get when the economy started doing a little bit right. back well and that's they could right. work. They were working out of necessity. They had to make up for all of the shit, all right? The
years that they lost.
Right. Yeah. And so then now, so we'll just think about, we'll talk about, cause I work for the automotive industry. We'll just talk about the automotive industry. Right. So then that generation of automotive workers, they really want, they needed those jobs.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely. And then, so then we watched them come up out of it. The 90s came, the economy turned around, and now they can maintain their lifestyles, right? But mm-hmm. they worked those jobs. They loved those jobs. They didn't love those jobs. They worked those jobs out of necessity. Right. And then our generation came around, and our generation, we worked those jobs to maintain our lifestyle.
This is true.
Right? This is it true. Wasn't out of necessity. Again, I've never seen bad times at Chrysler. I worked mm-hmm. here to maintain a lifestyle, mm-hmm. not out of necessity, but to... Right. So people my age or my generation of the automotive industry, they work, they live good. Middle right. class, it's the middle class people. They absolutely. Live good. They have their homes. They don't let it be two people, right? Two. They got their home. Their kids go to good schools. And we know these people and we live regular mm-hmm. lives. Their kids has never had to do a job out of necessity
right.
or to maintain... a job.
Yes.
So when you work with their kids, they mm-hmm. I would quit this job today and go home and lay down because my mama maintained my lifestyle. Right. My parents maintain my lifestyle.
I don't need this.
Yes. I can go DoorDash. I can go yeah. Uber.
This is true.
I can go start up a fucking podcast. Hello. Or you understand what I'm saying? So it's like, and it's not their fault. And we're looking at them like, you should work. Well, they've never again had to work a job out of necessity mm-hmm. or maintain a lifestyle on their own. We maintain their lifestyle.
Which brings me back to the point that what we were talking about before, right?
Mm-hmm.
The big three, we'll stick specifically to the big three. Mm-hmm. They have this archaic mindset that people are biting, scratching, clawing to get in here.
And that's what, and that's my point. Yes.
Which was the, which.
That brings me, it all the way home.
The arrogance. Yeah. The pure arrogance to start a supplemental employee at $15 an hour is.
You want
to,
here is the, let me tell you something. Ridiculous. Let me tell you a real fucked up conversation, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm having a conversation with LB about this episode and we go, you know, we just talking. I'm telling her like, in progression worker, right? And I'm like, okay, so people don't understand. I was in progression worker. Mm-hmm. I didn't make top pants for 3 years.
Okay.
Right? For 3 years. And it was unheard of. Right. When I tell you the working class that I work with, like back in the day, back in 99, they couldn't believe. They were like, what? What you mean? Right. Guess how much I was making an hour?
How much?
$15 an hour. That was in 99.
In 1999.
And it didn't fucking hit me until LB went, damn, that was in 99.
Yeah.
That's what they make right now.
2023.
Come on. That's ridiculous.
Listen.
And that shit, I'm like, wait a minute. That is what I was, because I said, LB, think about it. And like, man, I literally went from my job making like $8, $9 an hour because that was in the minimum wage back then to me making like $14 an hour. And then my next, I remember my big one was like 16.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I was making money in 99 with 16. It's 2023.
And they're making $15.75.
Nah. Get dog his buffs. We don't go.
And I'm going to tell you, and I'm not even trying
give me my soldier ad.
When they started forcing our supplementals in my department 12 hours, I almost lost my job. I literally almost lost my job.
Because you're like, I'm not doing this.
Physically, I went off after the shift manager.
Yeah.
You done lost your goddamn mind if you think they gonna work 2 hours over after working 10 hours.
I've experienced that. Listen, as a TL.
You are not about
to as a do TL, it. I would definitely, I've experienced that. And what I would do is, what I would do to accommodate the TPTs the best of my ability in my department, right? Y'all, when they, if everybody here on my team, sit down. You're gonna just chill. And you're gonna just wait. If you know what I'm saying? If I can let you go, I'll let you go.
Right.
But if you wanna get your money, cause you'll be surprised.
Some of them, if the overtime was offered to them,
even though it was forced on them, right? Even though the overtime was forced on them, some of them did want to work the overtime. If they did not want to work the overtime, I would let them go, cut out early. But I'm not gonna put you on a job. Like if you can sit here, because that's unfair. Absolutely. And I would have people, and I'm just sure people just being people, you know what I'm saying? Like whatever. And they would be like, we got extra people, like let them. I'm like, nah, they're not about to do your job for 2 hours. Until they go home, bro. They've been working 10 hours already. Exactly. They didn't did their time.
Let's
you just
clear.
Got here.
$15.75 is that's poverty level wages. That's for a high school kid that works at McDonald's.
In 2023.
Yeah. Because if you have a child, where are you living at, and what are you doing making $15.75 an hour? Because have you looked at the prices of rent lately?
Listen. Oh God, let's do it. That's what we need to do, a rent strike.
We can do it. For real. Let's do it. Martin, I ain't paying the five.
I ain't got it.
I ain't paying the five. But yeah, $15.75. They have to work 50, 60 hours a week in order to bring anything home.
Yeah.
To maintain. And that's what, even with us, right? We're at top pay. Yes, I'm fortunate enough to be at top pay. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for it. But make no mistake about it.
Mm-hmm.
Top pay in 2023
is not top pay.
It ain't top pay.
It's not. Need a raise.
Yeah. It might look good on paper what we bring home.
Yeah.
But trust and believe.
The economy.
It's not. Because
the checks and balances are not adding up.
My credit is okay. I have decent credit now, right?
Right, ladies, he's single too.
If I work 40 hours a week, I can't afford that Wrangler Rubicon that I want.
Yep.
And
that you build every day.
That I build every
day. And it's so crazy because they actually tell us, like, oh, y'all don't build vehicles for y'all own market. Basically, you're not building this vehicle for you. You would never be able to afford this vehicle.
Yeah, that's basically what they tell
you. Yeah.
Why not? Why? We should have pride in what we build, and we should be able to buy what we build.
And drive,
When those executives come in, y'all don't want to see a parking lot full of Wranglers? That means we're
buying. No, because they get their car for free.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap up the episode. Thank you so much, Rodney, for coming on. I hope that we is there anything you want to go over before you get off? Is it?
Everybody, like I said, it's. We're working on an expired contract. Is, you know, these.
What advice would you have to give to people that are still inside the plant working on an expired
ready.
Contract?
Stay ready. Like,
stay in compliance. Because I've been hearing, I don't know how true it is. Like, I don't know. I don't want to say anything officially because this is not no official, nothing like that. But I have been hearing people saying that they've been getting walked out and things like that. So like, just stay on y'all shit. Like, y'all already know, we know how to do our job. Again, like we said earlier, we're not the problem, right? So we not going with that. And like the working force, we know how to come in there. Most of us know how to do our job better than any damn body. Go to work, do your job, come home. I just put on my Facebook, are we allowed to work overtime? Apparently not.
Hell no. and stay in touch with y'all elected officials locally. Stay in touch with them because they will have information. If you thinking about you know, doing something, or you might not
Don't do it. Talk to somebody first.
Talk to your elected officials yes. at your plants, man, because they will have that information.
They will have the information.
I'm telling you.
Yes.
Keep your nose clean. Just stay.
Go
just
to work. Do your job. Come home.
Because we don't know what's going on. Like I said, this is live fire. This is definitely live
so
fire.
So it should be exciting. Everybody wants to be in the game. Y'all didn't want none.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go home, put my red on, and then I'm going to hit the lines later on.
So I need red camouflage leggings. No, I'm joking.
Put my red ski mask on.
I need a red ski mask. So listen, Rodney, who got time and gas to be riding all the way up to Ohio with y'all though? Like, Jesus Christ. Sean Fain, like, you put the furthest plane in the world on strike. Right. We need a shuttle to get up there.
Exactly.
But we're going to shuttle up there. Don't worry about it. We on our way.
Back and forth.
Don't worry about it. We on our way. But as a black woman, I will be complaining all the way there. All right. Thank y'all for tuning in. Y'all can always go back and watch this episode. Thank you so much, Rodney, for coming on. If y'all have any questions, leave y'all questions in the comment section on Facebook. If you're listening on the podcast on any other streaming avenues, if you're not on my Facebook, you probably not getting on there because ain't no more people getting on my Facebook. So just listen to the podcast. Y'all will be all right. One Girl, One Mic podcast. Thank you so much, Rodney, for coming out. Thank y'all for watching and listening. We out.
You're listening to One Girl, One Mic podcast. See you next week.